Take your Bibles today and turn to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. In context, this is Christ being examined by Pontius Pilate. And he's trying to find a reason to send Jesus to his death. And he can't. And it leads to a question that we all need to ask about what is truth. The world today is going far, far away from truth. Those who know the truth should stand for the truth. Can Ronnie turn on the light in the back there for me, please? So this morning, the title of my message is The Truths of Truth. The Truths of Truth. And we're going to be looking at John chapter 18, verses 28 to verse 38. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood that you shed for us. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you gave us that we don't deserve. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here today. Lord, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf, that you take away all distractions to help us to focus on you and your truth. Lord, we love you. Lord, change us today, Lord, and help us be more like you. Help us not to lie to ourselves, Lord, to lie to you, but that we will do truth. We thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our text this morning, in John chapter 18, verses 28 through 38, it says, Then led they, Jesus, from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto you. Come on, Pilate, get with it. Jesus is a crook. He's a criminal. We wouldn't have brought him here unless we had good reason to. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. You know, the Bible has extreme detail. And it talks about here, about Christ and his sayings. Verse 32, it says that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die on the cross. Verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, "That sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the what? Truth heareth my voice. And then this leads to the question. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith him, I find no fault in him, no fault at all. Pilate knew he was innocent. But the crowd were bent on crucifying Christ. Jesus knew that. He told his disciples that. That was the truth. And we see the truth of this action here. What we have here is we are in a war on truth. You could turn on the TV, go on the internet, and you can see that there's an actual war on truth.
Amen.
There is absolute truth. There is a truth that does not change. It is constant. It comes from God.
Amen.
Barna did a survey. More than half of Americans believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Everything is relative. It's the same percentage happens in churches today. Folks, we serve a God that changes not. We serve absolute truth.
Amen.
See, the war on truth is done on two fronts. It's done on what man says. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Beware! Wake up! Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Folks, you get your doctrine from this word. You don't get your doctrine from Oprah. You don't get your doctrine from The View. You don't get your doctrine from people that don't know God.
Amen.
People need to understand the truth.
Right.
There's a war on truth. And they say, what I believe is true, and because you don't believe the same way, you're wrong and you're living the lie. No, they're living the lie. They just don't know it.
Right.
So people's thinking and their philosophy has waged the war on truth. You know, science, so-called, has waged the war on truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed unto thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of" what? Science, falsely so called. Well, we've heard, follow the science. And I'll tell you what, the science causes the same problem, but not doing the things that science causes do.
Amen.
Makes no difference. God will make a difference.
Right.
We need to follow Him. You know, this illustration gives a kind of an idea about how men think today. A few years ago, a major multinational company was looking for a new marketing director. After much advertising and many applications, three candidates entered the final selection process: a mathematician, a statistician, and a sales rep. The first to be invited for the lead for the final interview was the mathematician, and the managing director asked him a simple question: what is 2 + 2? The mathematician was surprised, thought about it for a bit, wondered that it might be a trick question, and then simply answered 4. The managing director looked at the board, shook his head, and thanked him for coming, but he wasn't the candidate they were looking for. The statistician was next in, and the managing director asked him also the simple question: what is 2 + 2? He paused, thought about it for a bit, and then replied that statistically it was a number between 3 and 5. The managing director smiled, and the board were quite impressed. The candidate was thanked and ushered out. The last candidate, the sales rep, senior sales rep, was then invited into the interview, and the managing director asked him the simple question: what is 2 + 2? Without batting an eyelid, he replied, "What do you want it to be?" And was promptly hired on the spot. We have people that want to know what the definition of is. We have people in leadership that want to understand what the definition of a woman is. We have people in all sorts of places of power that are redefining the world. There's a war on truth.
Amen.
Now, you would think in the church that everything would be truth, right? Not our kitchen faucet. Not our kitchen faucet. Hot, the thing says hot's on the left, cold's on the right, Nope. You go left, you get cold. You go right, you get hot. It's a church. Everything in the church should be truthful, right? Nope. That's not the case. What does the Bible tell us to do about truth? We'll come back to the faucet in a minute, okay? In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." Folks, we need to obtain the truth and not let it go. We need to obtain the truth and not change it. We need to take the truth and not add to it or subtract from it. It says, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." But what's the first word here? Truth. You will not have wisdom unless you understand what true truth is. You will not have instruction or can give instruction, especially in the spiritual realm, unless you know what absolute truth of God is.
Right.
You don't know what understanding is and trying to figure out all the things of the Bible unless you understand the fundamental truth of God's Word. We need to buy the truth and sell it not. This morning I have a simple message. Four truths about truth. The first thing is the source of our truth is God. And if the source of your truth is not God, you need to get that fixed today with a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, truth is who He is. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of what? God of what?
Truth.
And without iniquity, just and right is He." So the source of our truth is God, because truth is who He is. Truth is found only in Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh." Oh, it was the Word that made all of us. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth." John 14, verse 6. Christ says this. Jesus saith unto Him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." A prophecy about Christ in Malachi chapter 2, verse 6. "The law of truth was in His mouth, and iniquity was not found in His lips. He walked with Me in peace and equity. He did turn many away from iniquity." Folks, we need to understand that your source for truth is God.
Amen.
It's not the world. It's not the world system. It's not the philosophers. It's not the science. It's God. He, truth is who He is. Truth is found in Christ. Truth is the presence of God's Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the what? Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from Father, He shall testify of Me." See, God gives us His Holy Spirit so we can understand His truth. God's truth is absolute. The truth of God is absolute. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." People want to change God's Word and say, "Well, that's not what it really means." That's a lie.
Right.
It means what it says. And people bought into those lies and made great errors. Okay? Paul even said some have made shipwreck concerning the faith. Some have erred from the faith. Folks, if we get off of God's truth, then you're erring from the faith.
Amen.
He says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And here's the benefit of truth. Truth is the consolation of God. It's our hope. Last Sunday night we talked about hope, and that hope starts off with understanding that we have a heritage or inheritance in Him. Hope is a choice that we make to basically have an optimistic outlook on the world through Christ's eyes. Hope is something that we have to get with patience. The fact that we have eternal life shows that we have hope, because you have something to look forward to. But in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it says that by two immutable things, it can't change, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Oh, it gets me riled up. We say, well, God didn't mean that. Yes, He did. We might have what? A strong consolation, a strong comfort, a strong hope, who have fled for refuge to take hold upon the hope set before us. Folks, this morning, I am setting before you the truth of God. You need to find refuge in it.
Amen.
It doesn't change. It is absolute. It's not what you think it is. It's what He says it is.
Amen.
And we need to stand for the truth. So the source of our truth is God. It is who He is. It is in Christ. It's the presence of His Spirit in our lives. It's absolute. And it's the consolation of God. Secondly, how do we sense the truth? We already have the idea. It's by His Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 17, it says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." See, God's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. The moment you got saved, you had the Holy Spirit in your life, the Spirit of truth. You need to be led by that. You need to be led by that. And it says, you'll know Him. You know, there should not, as far as spiritual matters, it shouldn't be, I think so, I know so. We should know God's truth, because He dwells in us and shall be in you. In John 15, 26, again, it says, when the Comforter's come, okay, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds, He shall testify of who? Christ, who is the embodiment of truth. And folks, if we want to be like Christ, like Pinocchio wanted to be like a young boy, then we should testify of Christ. Okay? Okay? We should testify of Christ. And if we're living a life and we say we're a Christian, we're not testifying Him, there's no truth there. Because the Spirit of truth says that He will testify of Him. And we should testify of Him also. So the sensing of truth is by the Holy Spirit. The sensing of truth is by the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 4 says, "For the Word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." Proverbs chapter 22, verse 21 says this, "That I may make thee know the certainty of the words of truth." Do you know the certainty of God's Word today? You will know if you read it.
Amen.
You memorize it. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I will not sin against thee. Thy word's a light unto my feet and a light unto, or light unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay? "A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's hot up here. Okay? Okay? But the issue is that it's a certainty word. So we know the sensing of truth by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to sit there and figure it out. God's given you the Holy Spirit to figure it out on your, from Him.
Amen.
And by the Word of God. He's given you His Word to do that. And the initial, the next thing is that can it be, it can be applied by the Christian himself. So what do I do with all this stuff? Well, in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us." What did Christ say to Pilate? "And all that know the truth shall" what? "Hear His voice." It says, "He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error." If you say you know God and you're doing something that you know that God says don't do, you are in the spirit of error and the truth is not ruling in your life. If you're doing what God tells you, then you are in His truth and you don't have to worry about anything. Because He'll look down and He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So the source of truth is God. The sensing of truth is the Holy Spirit and His Word that we need to apply. Are you applying His Spirit and Word in your life? Or is Sunday morning the only thing that you talk about and you think about God? What do you do out there? But even though we know the source of truth, even though we can sense the truth, the world is out to subvert the truth. The world is out to subvert the truth by culture and media. You know, Paul writes this book to the Romans. And the Romans were in the same debauchery that we're in today. Science says, well, you are who you think you are. No. If God made you male, you are male. If God made you female, you are female.
Amen.
And you can't make a choice. God made that choice for you. It's your destiny. Okay? But mankind's smarter than that, right? Philosophy is smarter than that. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. You know, in Isaiah it says that people call good evil and evil good. We're there right now. We're there right now. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For Romans chapter 1, verse 28, a couple verses down there, it says, and even as they did not like truth, you know, the people don't really want truth. They want what they want, their way. And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God says, okay, you make the choice. You make the wrong choice, you're going the wrong way. You make the right choice, you go the right way. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. If you're a Christian, you'll be conformed to Him. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
That you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Folks, it's time for people to stand up for the truth.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, here in the near future, we're going to have to stand up for the truth. We're already doing it now. You don't see it. But we're already doing it. Because the culture and media wants to come in. They want to change the church to the world. No, we need to change the world to the church.
Amen.
We need to make a difference.
Amen.
And if we're not making a difference in people's lives and life, then we're not living the truth. So, truth is being subverted by the world system. But you know something? We're subverting truth also by not teaching our kids. Moses was given a commandment that he was given a song. And he told the nation of Israel, he says, you're supposed to sing this song to your kids and then to your grandkids. You're supposed to put this law on your doorpost. You're supposed to be as frontlets in front of your eyes. So you're constantly thinking about the truth of God and the Word of God. Do you do that? Do we do that? That means we have to immerse ourselves in God's Word. So Moses dies. You know why? Disobedience. Joshua takes over. They go into the promised land. They start conquering land, but do they do it all the way? No, they don't. And in Judges chapter 2, verses 18 through 13, or 8 through 13, it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Tanathiris, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation was gathered unto their fathers. the generation contemporary with Joshua. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, and yet, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You know why? Because no one told them. I'm telling you today what God does. You need to believe it. It's your choice, though.
Right.
Verse 11, it says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, and the gods of the people that were what? Round about it, because they listened. They bought into the world."
Right.
The church is buying into the world today. And we got things in our life that we wouldn't even think about having 40 years ago. Followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger, but didn't bother them. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Oh, folks. Parents, teach your kids the word of the Lord. Don't depend on the school to teach them right. Don't depend on their friends to teach them right. It's your responsibility. And because we're not standing up for it, we have a generation that's coming here. Why is there a lot of us, but there's not a lot of young people here? Think of that. We're seeing that played out today, folks. The world is subverting the truth of God. So we see the source of our truth is God. We see the sense in the truth. We see the subversion of truth. And then lastly, the surrender to truth. That's what we need to do today. We need to surrender to truth by knowing. In verse 37, it says, "And anyone who knows the truth hears his voice." And so in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed," what? "Rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, we made a choice to follow truth when you accepted Christ. He says, "And if Christ shall, and if you know the truth of what? The truth shall what? Make you free." Make you free. So we need to surrender to truth by knowing. We need to surrender to truth by trusting and seeking. In Psalm chapter 31, verse 5, I'm going to go through these verses pretty quick, so hang on. Okay? "Into thy hand I commit my spirit, and thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." We're redeemed by His truth. Okay? We need to seek His truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 10. After Solomon experimented with everything, he comes back in chapter 12 and he says, "Ah, I figured this out." He said, "The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth." And then he says, here's the conclusion of the matter, "Fear God."
Amen.
Fear God. So to surrender to truth, Christian, you need to know it. There's people out there that know more Bible than you do.
Oops.
Satan knows more Bible than most of us do. That's what he tempted Christ with. It sounds good. Doesn't mean it's good.
Amen.
We need to trust and seek truth. We need to follow truth. Psalm chapter 25, verse 5, "Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." Psalm 43, verse 3, "O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and unto thy tabernacles." So we need to surrender the truth by knowing it. You can only know it by knowing Christ. You need to surrender truth by trusting in it and seeking it. You can only do that through Christ. You need to surrender the truth by following Christ. You need to surrender truth by doing the works that Christ led us to. We need to do in word. We already seen this verse with the kids. Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Question. When people, you talk to people, do they trust you as telling them the truth? Or they mistrust you just like I mistrust most people anymore? It's hard to find a truthful person. You know where you should find truthful people? In God's house.
Amen.
Truthful people who are following God, who say they're Christians. So we need to do it in word. Back in Exodus, where they were building, getting ready to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, here's the criteria to doing the work of God. It says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men," such as what? Fear God. Men of truth. Okay? "Hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of 50, and rulers of tens." Oh, we need our nation to turn to truth.
Amen.
We need our nation to fear God. So to surrender truth by doing in word, surrender in truth by doing in walk. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." This morning I'm challenging you, if there's something in your life that you know God doesn't want in your life, get rid of it. It's not truth.
Amen.
Because if you got this junk in your life, you can't stand for the truth. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed."
Amen.
"And in truth." How many times have you tried to go to your spouse and say, "I love you," and the truth wasn't there? Saw right through it. God sees right through us too. So the issue is, let's not love in word or in tongue. It's not what we say, it's what we do. But in deed and in truth. 3 John, verse 4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." So we need to do by doing in word and in walk, and then lastly in worship. When Christ was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, there was a discussion about religion and worship. And in John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." What does that really mean? It means that when you come in church, you are who you say you are.
Come on, man.
You say you're a Christian, then you need to be a Christian. You need to know Christ. You need to follow the truth. I have a hard time believing that people are Christians and they're doing something that's absolutely forbidden in God's Word. You can make a slip up, but to live like that? Something's wrong there. Something's wrong there. Well, can I mess up? Yeah, you can mess up, but you shouldn't do it deliberately. You shouldn't do it continually. You know, John writes, he says, "They were of us, but they went out from us because they were not of us." Later on in that chapter, he says, there's many antichrists in the world. He says, here we know the spirit of the Christ and the spirit of the antichrist. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Chapter 4, he talks about love. He says, this is what true love is. This is what true faith is. So when you come to worship, you need to be in truth. You need to be walking with the Spirit. Amos says this, how can two walk together except they be what?
Agreed.
We need to agree with everything that God says. You can't argue with Him. People who argue with God found out that doesn't work. Okay? They get eaten by whales and fish and all sorts of things. It doesn't work that way. John 17:17 says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth." You want to be set apart to do what God wants you to do? That's sanctification. You're set apart by His truth. You can't be set apart doing God's work when you're not following His truth. He says, "Thy word is truth." So we need to do it by word. We need to do it by walk. We need to do it by worship. Now, let's get back to the faucet. What we do As we try to make an excuse for why it doesn't work the way it's supposed to work.
That's sad.
Instead, the fact is that we messed it up in the first place. So this is what was on the faucet. And it said, for hot water, turn to the right. Don't believe what that faucet says. Do it this way. Do it this way.
But it ain't like that at your house.
Insulation reversed. You know, here's the sad part about it. It's fixed now.
Come on, man.
It's fixed now. And the sad part about it was, it's been like that for years, and it took 5 minutes to fix. We've been going along for years, plugged into the wrong source, finding truth someplace else. Where all it takes is a little simple fix. Turn back to God. Turn back to God and come back to the right source. So hot water comes out of the hot faucet, and cold water comes out of the cold supply line. Do you need to be changed to truth today? It's simple. Trust God. Is the truth of God in your life? Psalm 145, verse 18, and I'll close. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth. Have you called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Says in the Bible, the truth of God's Word says you'll get saved if you do that. Call on Him today for salvation. Do we need to call on Him to put the truth of God back in our life again and start following it? We need to turn to Him and make the simple switch back to Him. Say, I'm not going to go my way. I'm not going to go the world's way anymore. I'm going to go Christ's way. That'll fix everything and help us to walk in truth. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask for You this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, just to live for You and follow You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.